podcasting. Who would have ever thought?
Walking the streets of Colonial Sucre. Seems like this is getting old hat, huh? I guess this is about our 10th day here, at least my 10th day here in Sucre, Bolivia. It's been a wonderful experience. The people are great. Look at this town as we walk, the gorgeous colonial architecture. Beautifully, meticulously groomed and manicured Central Plaza. We're headed right down over to the district, I guess you'd call the bar and restaurant district, where most of the happening, travelers and local people go for drinks, food, and that. We're headed to Joyride, which is a kind of a motorcycle. Most travelers on motorcycle passing through Sucre don't miss this place. They have a book where you can read stories, see pictures of other motorcycle travelers that have stopped through here. It's owned by Dutch gentleman who started the bar here 5-6 years ago. And we're going to go in and see if we can break him away from his business a little bit and talk a little bit about how he started his business and what he thinks we should do here in Bolivia. So come on, join me. Let's go on. Let's go see him. Come on. Exactly. Well, here we are actually at one of the most famous rider stops in all of South America, in Sucre, Bolivia. It's called Joyride Cafe. It's right off the main plaza, the Plaza Principal, across from the legendary Catedral. I'm here with the owner, a Dutch man named Gert. And I will not pronounce his name right, so I'm going to let him actually do that. To talk a little bit about Joyrides, the bikers that he's met here before, and just overall, how did you end up in Bolivia?
Well, thanks for asking, Alan. You did pretty well on my name, actually. I have to comment. It's how did I end up here? I came in with UN some 7 years ago, having worked 2 years in Ghana in West Africa. There's an agriculture project going on here in Potosí. So they called me in to go to Potosí for 2 years, but halfway I got sick of Potosí. I asked for a transfer and they transferred me to Sucre, and then my contract ended. I was slightly bored with the work within FAO, the Food and Agriculture Organization I was working for, and so I decided to do something I really like, which is biking. And being this country being as pretty as it is, I thought we could definitely start selling tours for Europeans and Americans to come in and take larger motorbike tours in the area, not only Bolivia but also expanding into Brazil, Argentina, and so I started up that. At the same time, I actually bought the bar. And as you can see now, the bar has gone way out of hand. I'm not doing the motorbikes anymore because this thing was sort of maintaining itself, and I decided I needed more time for the bar. But meanwhile, we started up doing the mountain bike tours and the hiking and all that, which is the second activity of Joyride the way it is now. And still enjoying it very much, and actually thinking of one day trying to get back into the biking thing again. I see all you guys coming by, all the world riders, and I think biking in the end is the way to go.
Yeah, well, it's certainly it's amazing. I've been actually in Sucre for quite a bit waiting for my battery, which is a whole nother story. But running into Andy and Maya, the legends from they're European, running around in a sidecar, over there not too long ago. And then just about everybody you've met, Anna Motodiva, and Motodiva, and that. I mean, what
What's the most interesting story you've heard from some of these world rider motorcyclists coming through Joyride that kind of makes you think, wow, why am I not out there doing that?
Well, now maybe it's the other thing of a few bikers that came through, and I've had many. I just missed Ted Simon in those days when he did a second world tour, because by the time I rode him, he was already in Mexico, and he was going up north already, going to the United States.
So you missed him.
I missed him just by a bit. And I've had more major names of world bikers coming through. But one of them, or maybe two of them, are still on my website. The first one is Jacques Lucasse. He's pretty much a legend as well, doing the world on an R1. And he did it on a CBR Fireblade before. Because he set the first record, the Joyride record, of drinking Super Chop. I know if you've seen the beer glasses, they're like half a liter. Uh-huh. And he had 15 of those. And then, as a joke, in the end, he said, as we did some, we interviewed him also to put it on the website afterwards, and he said, I shouldn't tell these people at home because this is what we have for breakfast there. But then comes in, what's his name? Dan? Oops, I'm forgetting his name now. I'll come up with it later. Yeah. A British guy on a crappy some Honda bike. He's in Costa Rica now doing something for KTM. Dan Walsh. It just came back to me. And Dan Walsh is a very big, rough guy, and he likes a beer every now and again. So he set the other record, and he put it on to 18 in between, was it 6 o'clock at night? No, wait. The funny thing was, a shark planned it well, and he started at 6. This guy, at a certain point, said, well, I've had 11 already, so why not try to go for the record? This whole thing had only started at 9, and he had to finish his thing by 2 o'clock in the morning, which he did. He was only lacking 3 beers, and he was still sitting up straight, and he was fine until he had the last. He took the last 3 pretty fast, and then he had to crawl out on his knees. But he still manages, and the record is actually still there.
Yeah.
Dan Walsh.
You know, I had the pleasure of meeting Nicky Stromboli. He worked on my bike and actually helped switch my battery cables around. I know that you've got a little local community riders. Even though you're not doing rides formally out of Joyride, you still do ride. You've got a couple bikes. You know, what kind of riding do you do around here? And why would somebody want to come to Bolivia to ride?
Well, it's pretty hard to, as you're a biker, to leave this biking thing. So I used to run this business first. Meanwhile, I was already riding on my own bikes, which were XR400s in those days. Now I've swapped to the W400 426. I used to own a CR250, and I just now bought the 650 out of the hands of another world rider that I'm gonna travel with. All in all, I think it shows that Bolivia is very, very good to ride in. Both long distance, like the way you do it, as the short riding. And I've done 1 year of motorbike competition, motocross competition on a closed circuit here. But the thing I definitely like most is enduro riding. And as you've seen, it's very, very pretty with its different, areas, different kinds of climate regions and different zones and vegetation, etc., etc. Especially here in Chuquisaca, in Sucre, where everything, but literally everything, is up and down. It's always up and down into the rivers and over the mountain, and on the other side you go down again, and all kinds of terrain. What we're lacking here is sand and mud. Because it's pretty dry and rocky. I think it must be like your area in, what's your state again? Colorado? Pretty high up. That's basically the thing here. But then for that, you can go down to Santa Cruz and you'll find a real sand dirt track for motocross also. So you basically have everything here in the country within reach. It's very, and you've seen it. It's very pretty.
Very diverse.
The area, like I said, south of the Salar of Uyuni, I think is one of the major attractions, especially for bikers, because you're much more one with your environment as you're on a bike, and you sense it much more from a bike than you do from a Jeep. And many people comment that that's definitely been the prettiest thing they've seen in Latin America so far.
Yeah, we're very excited about the Salar, and as we've been calling it, the Volcano District, or as more widely known as the Lagunas. Jeremiah from Journey So Far is here too, and maybe he has a couple questions if we could hold you a little bit on biking or your business here. Jeremiah?
Gert,
maybe about the route we're looking at.
Yeah, Gert, can you explain a little bit to Alan's listeners here about the what we call the volcano route because of the vistas of the volcanoes, not because you're climbing the volcanoes, but everyone talks about the lagunas and everything down there, and I could give my own spiel on it from what I've read, but since you've actually seen it, could you just give everybody sort of an overview of what that area south of the Salar, north of Chile and extreme northern Argentina is like?
The thing is, everybody wants to go there. It's a sort of a moon-like landscape. No vegetation whatsoever because it's up, and it's high up, and it's very dry. At certain points, you go up to, I think the highest you get is like 5,300 meters. I don't know how much that makes in feet for the American listeners. And all kinds of colors, strange colors, and even smells. Although you wouldn't believe me, there's one laguna called Laguna Hedionda, which means the smelly lagoon. All these lagoons, they have different flora and fauna in them. The Laguna Colorada is red or red purple kind of thing that you've never seen before, and it's really impressive. And it goes with the pink flamingos that are feeding from the same lagoon. Then the other one down here, called close to the two, I think it's one major volcano just sitting behind, is called Laguna Verde. At a certain point, the sun goes over, and the whole laguna will change in color. It'll be like a normal color up to a certain hour. As soon as the angle of the sunlight that comes in changes, it changes to a very bright and intense, odd kind of green that you've also never seen in water. And then this Hedionda thing, the smelly lagoon, has, I don't know, probably some kind of anaerobe, what do you call this? The yeah, in it, that produces HS2, whatever, sulfur thing that makes it really sulfur smelly. I'm sure somebody knows, what do you call this, organically and chemically, how to explain that. But it, all in all, it's a very desolated, high up, kind of environment with many, many strange and different colors and smells. It's really impressive. There's one picture that I have of some coffee-colored mountain, and it goes from dark brown and into a grayish kind of blue all the way up to the top. It's definitely very impressive. It's like I said, it's what most bikers and people in general think is the most one of the prettiest things they've seen in Latin America. Don't forget about the geysers, right? There's hot springs, and there's this geyser with this liquid mud with the air coming out. A few hot baths, or what do you call this? Thermals, where you can go in with the exact right temperature of 36 or 38 degrees Celsius. As it's like 0 degrees outside, it's very good. And for bikers, as you can camp anywhere you like, it's definitely the way to a very pretty area.
Sounds real great. Did you have another question, Jeremiah?
Well, I was only going to ask Gert where the famous Standing Rock is, you know, the sort of pyramidal upside-down rock.
We've seen this rock in so many pictures. It kind of is the quintessential picture of the desolate part of Bolivia.
Yeah, go ahead. Say it again.
It doesn't make much sense to point it out on the map to your listeners at home.
Yeah.
It's Árbol de Piedra is a tree kind of structure, but the lower bit has been blown out by the wind, and that's why it became into a tree kind of a thing. I'll give it to you on my GPS. I have the coordinates. It's somewhere between two lagunas. And all roads or all cars, all tracks will basically take you there because that's where all tourists go to get their to have their picture taken.
Photo.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's a classic picture that everybody sends home.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Ed. And for those listeners all over the world, it's joyridebol.com. Joyridebol, short for Bolivia.com. And if you want to have some great riding, get to Bolivia and stop in at Joyride in Colonial Sucre. You won't be disappointed.
It's good talking to you, Garrett.
Thank you for your interest. I never knew that that was going to be live on the internet in this case one day.
Thanks
for the opportunity.
Yeah, well, thank you for your time today, and I'm sure listeners will be very excited to hear it. Well, this is Alan, and we're signing out.
World Right. Edition.
Podcasting. Who would have ever thought?